Plant Online, this is thecommentary.ca. A glimpse into the fascinating world of professional wrestling can be had in a new memoir from one of the industry's legends. In Hitman, My Real Life in the Cartoon World of Wrestling, Bret Hart recounts his remarkable 23-year career and his life thus far. From the early days of being trained and stretched in his father Stu Hart's legendary basement in Calgary to the heights of sports entertainment as a seven-time world heavyweight champion, Bret Hart recounts the ups and downs, and there were many of both, in a highly readable and engrossing book. Bret Hart was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2006, and in 2004, he was voted the 39th greatest Canadian, published by Random House. Hitman retails for $35, but since it's already a number one bestseller, you can find it for far less than that. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Bret Hart. Good morning, Mr. Hart.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. You dedicate the book to your mother, Helen Hart. What sort of relationship did you have, the three of you have, your father, Stu, your mother, Helen, and yourself? It seemed to be a unique and special one. Would you say that?
I think I was sort of a conduit between the two of them. You know, I kind of, I went to them both in different ways. I was closer, I think, with my mother as a kid, but I think I grew into sort of this closeness with my father.
And when they talk about the Hart family and its contribution to wrestling, she played a significant role, did she not?
Oh, yeah, for sure she was.
And it's something that we don't, I mean, talk to us about, I mean, their offices were, they shared an office, did they, in the house?
There was just one room between the, sort of the main boy's bedroom, and my mom and dad's room was, between that room was an office, or a room that they used for the office. But they just had the filing cabinet filled with wrestlers' pictures from everywhere, you know, people that sent pictures to see if they could get booked, and, you know, a little office with a little desk and a little typewriter that everything was typed out, and two black phones.
Do you ever wonder what would have happened had your family gone into a different line of work, gone into a different business? Do you think you'd have gone into the same business?
I couldn't begin to imagine. I don't know what would have happened. Everything would be different, that's for sure.
Reading the book, I was really struck by Hart House. I think, you know, we've seen it on television. So, what's the state of Hart House now? Who lives there?
There's just, I think, some house sitters there now watching the house. It's being, I think they're drawing up plans to start renovating it. So some Italian guy bought it. And as far as I know, the house is never going to change. It may be changed a little bit, but it'll always be the same.
In the inside cover of the book, there's this wonderful cartoon of just a panorama of all these wrestlers that you'd encountered over the years. You drew that yourself, did you?
Yeah, I drew that with I had about 3 days' notice and about 3 days left, like of a deadline to have it into Random House. So I just whipped that one off really fast, but it was a real. It was tough getting it done under the gun like that, and it was kind of fun to, you know, suddenly find. I didn't have a lot of pictures to work with when I was drawing. I was drawing it down in Hawaii, so I just worked on it for about 6 days straight and sent it up to him. And I knew there was a lot of wrestlers I could have added to that that little montage there. I thought it was perfect just the way it looked.
And you cartoon all the time. That's something that I guess we didn't know about you. Very much. So you've done that throughout your life?
Yeah, just always was something I just did all the time. I always had a far interesting knack for being able to caricature people.
You write a great deal about your marriage, your first marriage to Julie, and the subsequent divorce and so on. What is the nature of your relationship now? May I ask?
We're on decent terms. I think we've kind of moved on. You know, we've both gone through, I don't think there's not really any real hard feelings or anything. I think we both sort of understand that we just went through a strange time period.
And the relationship with your siblings?
Oh, it's good. I have a good relationship with all of them.
How did they react to some of the things you wrote about them in the book?
It's sort of, at this point, I'm not sure that any of them have actually read it yet, but I've talked to them about it, and I think they're sort of thinking. approach. I don't think there's anything in there they don't already know. So it, I think it's just sort of the idea that it's been written about.
And your children, you're obviously a very proud father. You have four children, do you?
Yeah.
And they're all of they're all in I guess they're well, the oldest is what, 23?
Yeah, the oldest is 23.
And you must be very proud of them, and they must be very proud of you. Was there any worry on your part that they would go into to the business that you went into?
You know, I found myself thinking that, you know, if I wanted to do it, you know, that I should encourage it and at least support them through it. And, you know, none of them ever wanted to do it. I think sometimes the oldest one kind of thought about it a couple of times. So I think in the end it's just not something he was comfortable with. I think my kids are more, I don't know, they're just not really, I always said, like, after that Wrestling with Shadows documentary was done, that whole screw job was done. My kids never really followed the wrestling after that.
What this book does is give us a wonderful view of the wrestling business, and you're very frank and candid about a lot of the stuff that went on during your time, and I assume that it's going on to this day, that this world of sex, drugs, and alcohol. Did you succumb to any of that yourself?
Well, I think I, you know, you sort of get into it knowing there's certain lines you're going to cross over into, and, you know, you kind of pick your vices sometimes, and you just, sometimes it's, you know, in a lot of ways it's like, you know, if you can just survive it physically, you know, I think there's a lot of a mental anguish that went along with that job that doesn't really get recognized, of the stress of, you know, they talk about how real it is and how not real it is, but it, when they have your character that you invest so much of your time and energy into, and they try to tear your character down, and the how they do that and how quickly they can do that is ruthless stuff, and I think that needs to sort of be understood. And I think in the way I try to write about so many little details of what the wrestling life is all about, I try to put people, not just wrestling fans, but people in the dressing room and let them sort of see how it all unfolds.
And for you, did drugs and alcohol sort of control your life like it did so many of your other friends?
No, I never saw myself as anyone that had any addictions or anything like that.
Would sex have been the closest one?
No, I think, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I was just a normal male, you know, I think,
That's what went on the road and so on?
Yeah, I think the way I put it in the book about, you know, a lot of people think about it, they might not be able to lace up my shoes fast enough if they were in the same shoes, you know, it's like, you know, I was lucky to be who I was when I was.
There's been a lot of talk about just you write about it in the book, the sort of grim reaper that's over the wrestling world. Death in the wrestling world, the numbers are staggering. I mean, just reading your book and recognizing some of the names, it was unbelievable and astonishing almost. Well, why do you think that death has become so prevalent in your business?
You know, I don't know. It does seem that over the years there's been a, I don't know that you can put any blame on any particular thing, but there's a lot of wrestlers that developed prescription pill addictions that really went under the radar as far as drug testing was going, and you know, a lot of these guys got addicted to painkillers from injuries, and just going and going and going and going, and the whole rest of life is so, you know, in a lot of ways it's so mundane, and you just get, all you have is the wrestlers and their lives, and you're just all chained together at the ankles, you're at the airports, you're in the dressing room, it's just this whole life that you live day in, day out, and it's really hard to escape it, and when you do escape it, you got to have enough money to support yourself, and most of these wrestlers, after they leave WWF, they're broke, they're beat up, they got addictions, they got alcohol problems, they got depression issues, and I think a lot of that's just sort of gone, you know, no one was paying attention, but when you see dropping off for all kinds of reasons. It just tells you this, I think that something, and aside from my brother Owen, I mean, most of them, you know, were sort of crazy drug deaths, most of them.
Are you surprised, or do you wonder why so many of them met an untimely fate, and you seem to have survived? Do you ever wonder why them and not you?
I don't know. I guess it's maybe my story wasn't finished. You know, I think of when I had my stroke, and I got my blessings every day at how close that was. I never realized for, I think, a long time until my doctor told me how close a stroke is to biting the bullet. I always thought that just the stroke itself was pretty severe.
How is your recovery going?
It's pretty good. I think, it's one of those things, you get a little better all the time, believe it or not. I think, you always astound yourself a year later when you realize how much more movable. You know, you have so much more flexibility, and you get so much more energy and power back.
One of the things that struck me in the book, in a business sense, wrestling in your time did not seem to me to be a very financially rewarding business. I don't know if that was what you were being paid at the time, or just because most of the wrestlers, as you said, weren't able to save enough.
Well, I think that. The money I made in the beginning with wrestling wasn't much different than being a topless dancer or something like that. It was like you just barely kind of made ends meet. But I think once we got to the big time in the WWF and all that, you got a lot of wrestlers that have no idea how to handle large sums of money, and suddenly they're making so much more money than they ever imagined. Huge sums of money that just don't even know how to handle it. And they don't know how to invest it right, or they're usually they're just too overwhelming for them to. There's a lot of wrestlers that can't read or write, let alone know what to do with a large sum of money. And there was days back in the 80s when cocaine was sort of the big rage, and a lot of wrestlers lost their life savings on it.
Are wrestlers today, are they in better shape financially, do you think, than?
I think so. I do think the younger guys that are in it today are much more careful. I think they're more, athletic. I think they're more in tuned in with their bodies, and I think it's sort of a different thing now.
Your relationship with Vince McMahon is what today?
I think we're kind of live and let live.
There's no desire on your part to go back ever at all?
No, there's nothing for me to do.
What about outside of the WWE?
In wrestling, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see the same. I'd go back to Vince if I could think of something that I wanted to do, but I don't see anything that I want to do. Physically, I'm limited with the stroke and the concussion problems that wrestling's a scratch. And then the rest of it, being a manager or an announcer or a commissioner or a referee or whatever else could possibly be dreamed up, is just not enough for me to want to go back.
Reading the book, it seemed that you'd had all these rocks, all this baggage that you were carrying, and you write in the book that it was as if you were putting it down. You mentioned the screw job earlier. Do you think you've gotten over that? And do you think that... a lot of the resentment that perhaps you had towards certain people, do you think that's died down?
Well, I'll never forget it happened, and I'll sort of carry it around as a reminder of how life can get, but I think I've moved on from it. To me, it's more of a, I don't look back on it with a sort of, as a black thought sort of thing. I was always really proud of how I handled myself, and I always, it's more of a celebration in my mind than it is something that I regret. I thought it was a defining moment for me, whether I realized it or not at the time.
You mentioned your brother Owen, and around the time of his death, in reading the book, I really seemed to get the sense that he wasn't happy in professional wrestling. He had wanted to go into firefighting instead, I think, correct?
Yeah, well, I think he was happy with wrestling, but he, I don't think he was happy with not being home. I think Owen was one of those kind of guys. If he could have just got home a little more often, he would have been a really hard-working, loyal guy that loved the business. And unfortunately, he came in at a time like as I was sort of making my last sort of my last good years in the WWF. Anyway, he got his break, and you know, he suddenly made some pretty good money, and I think. He was happy with his lot in life, and he had a good life and a good wife at home. And Owen was just another one of those guys that was saving everything for tomorrow.
Looking back at your life, are there many regrets on your part?
Well, I regret some of the things that that I did on the road, maybe but I think. For the most part, I wake up pretty easy and look myself in the mirror, and I think I was just a young man in a crazy world, and I think it was good for me to be honest about the wrestling life and give people a really important look at a time and place in history of the crazy world of wrestling, which who knows if it'll ever have the same reach the heights that it's reached right now.
And you're happy with the book and the success? I mean, it hit number one this weekend.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the success of the book. I feel really proud of the book, and I think that it will surprise a lot of people that it's actually a pretty good read.
I must say, and I'm not just saying this because you're on, but I'm not a wrestling fan, but in reading the book, I really appreciated your sense as a student of history. You were very good at adding context to the events of your life, saying, you know, where you were when John Wayne died or when Challenger exploded and so on. It was a great, I guess, compass for those of us who weren't particularly, who didn't know wrestling very much, and so it was a good sort of way to follow the book.
Yeah, I think I've had people tell me that what they liked a lot about the book was the foreign trips and the descriptions of some of the countries and places. And I'm glad I was able to do that because I had so many great memories from so many far-off places that I always just wondered if you just look at them in National Geographic, you never dream you're actually going to go to these places.
And in your future, Brett, what plans have you got?
I'm just going to take life easy, I think, for a little while, and maybe in the next year or so I'll start looking at maybe what role I might play in trying to bring some of this book or parts of this book or the book itself to film, maybe whether it's TV or movie or something like that. It might be interesting for me to start looking into that.
Are you participating in this reality show, the television show that I think members of your family are part of?
No, I don't have anything to do with it, but I hope it does well.
Brett, I do appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Congratulations on a very fine book, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Okay.
Brett Hart, the book is called Hitman, My Real Life in the Cartoon World of Wrestling, $35 from Random House. I'm Joseph Planta.